Lucy, I'm home.
Welcome back to Having a Ball. Today is a special kind of episode because we have a guest, a special guest, Rick 9G, who has a very fun YouTube video channel where I discovered and learned a lot about Lucy myself, and I think a lot of Lucy fans have, even though it's not just Lucy covers, you know, other shows. So we're excited to have you.
Yes,
thank
hello.
You so much. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Explain a little bit about like what you do and how long you've been doing it.
Yeah, I have been doing or working on my YouTube channel since 2016. And so my passion has always been classic TV shows and movies. And the funny thing, it was never something that I would even tell my best friends. It was something that, of course, my family knew about. But like even my best friends didn't know. And I thought, you know, what the heck? I should just make a video on something that I think is fun. I Love Lucy, my favorite show of all time. And I don't know, I knew about a couple guest stars who were on the show. I made a video on it, didn't think too much of it. When I checked it out, I said, oh my goodness, this video has tens of thousands of views, right? It was kind of a shock. And that's kind of how it started. So it started with that video, and that's been years ago. And I continue to cover other shows like I Love Lucy, but that continues to be my favorite show.
So that was your first ever video, was an I Love Lucy related one?
Not video ever. I used to do gaming on the channel, just like, okay, like video games, nothing really crazy. The channel, of course, it was just okay. It wasn't doing too well. But I don't know. It was one of those things where it was like something wasn't being completely satisfied in me. I was like, I want to talk about something I'm really passionate about. And when I did that, it showed results. So I was really happy about that.
Now, you're a young guy, so these are not shows from your childhood. Were you introduced to these via your parents, your grandparents, or just yourself? You just started watching all these classic TV shows.
Yeah, you know, that's always a funny story because everyone would think, well, of course your parents, Rick, showed you these, or even your grandparents, just like you said. But no, that wasn't the case. My dad, on his own, loved things like the Three Stooges and the Marx Brothers, but that's about it. And that was because he saw it in his native Argentina. He used to watch them and they were dubbed in Spanish. But no one in my family that I know of really watched I Love Lucy except for like an uncle here and there, maybe an auntie.
Yeah.
And I started watching it after Saturday morning cartoons. They would just put it on and I stayed and I continued watching and I fell in love with it.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, yeah. I mean, I think we're all the same type of people. So I think we find a fascination that, you know, with those classic television shows that a lot of people don't, and we find each other somehow.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking about, you know, I mentioned that I Love Lucy was introduced to me through my family, but MASH is a show that my brother and I found at the library. Like we used to go to the library and find like DVDs, and we just sat up one night and literally
I remember libraries.
I remember those.
Yeah.
We watched so many of them, and that's how like my love for MASH came about. Mm. And it's just kind of crazy that, you know, thankfully we have all of these documented and, you know, on video so we can watch them. But yeah, a lot of people don't know the depth of my love for a lot of these older shows.
Yeah. And I think like what Rick does on his channel is it's not so much the comedy, you know, the scripted show as they go throughout the episode. It's really behind the scenes stuff that's more fascinating, at least to me it is, that, you know, maybe the bloopers, the trivia, but also what it took to make these shows. And I think, Rick, you go into a lot of that with like Desilu Productions and behind the scenes, you know, how it came to be, you know, to put the show together.
Right. And I think as a casual watcher, I would say when I was younger, of course, I was a casual watcher. I kind of stopped watching through high school. And the reason was because of the 2003 documentary movie. And that was kind of a shock to me in what was going on and all this tumultuousness. And I kind of stopped watching the show. And so that led me to kind of wonder a little bit about, well, what was really happening, you know? And so I did my own investigations, my own research, and then I brought it to my channel, and people were really just interested and shocked at some of the things that happened. You know, some of the things maybe that they were surprised didn't happen, and vice versa.
Yeah, that movie I've seen, I think you're talking about, I think it's just called Lucy with the actress. Yeah. Is it Rachel York? She played her. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. Right. And I think I've seen many people try to emulate Lucille Ball, and no one can. And we've gotten into discussions about Nicole Kidman, but I realize it's a whole other thing she's trying to do. But with the Rachel York character in that movie, I think that's the closest I've seen to the height, the comedy, physical, you know, ability to do what Lucy did. That movie did open up my eyes a little bit for that. But the backstory is really sad, because I think she was just playing out what she wanted to happen in her real life, you know, with her husband.
Yeah, it was kind of, like you mentioned, it was kind of jolting, and it was that shock of, yes, you know, it's a show, but then you're saying, but what's going behind the scenes? And so is there any genuine feeling to what is going on, or is this all a show? And then of course you start finding out what's going on and the passion they actually put into an episode, you know, 26 and a half minutes, and you say, whoa, well, regardless of what was going on, these people were great and they were professionals. Yeah. And they had to turn off that personal switch and get on camera and play these characters. And I think many people don't realize they are characters.
Yeah.
In the sense of, they're almost completely different from how they are, maybe minus Fred, but
yeah. I think we've discussed in the William Frawley profile we did, he's the exact same person that he is on screen that he was in real life, just grumpy and just unhappy.
Yeah. Grumpier and more expletives.
Now I see that you also get into breaking down like their salaries, the set designs. Yeah. I think you even visited the Desilu, or what was the Desilu Studios. What's that like? Because just watching you or other people who have gone to these places, the historical places, it does something to you, because, you know, history was made there.
Yeah, that was something that I think came to me because I realized I grew up in Los Angeles, and, you know, being driven around town by my mom when I was a little boy, you would just pass these places and it's, you know, your hometown, quote unquote. But then doing all this research, I'm like, wait, next to that bakery where I always drove by, that's where they film Laurel and Hardy. What? Wait, I Love Lucy is like 10 blocks away from so-and-so. Oh, and so cool. When I would go there, I would be like, you know, when you would drive there, you never realize that there's no sign out there that's advertising this is what the location is. But after doing this research, and you go there and you touch the building, the actual building, you know, and can't really go inside, but you feel something there. And
yeah,
it's fantastic to be able to be part of that history, knowing that other people can't visit for many different reasons. And I thought, why don't I bring that to the channel, being able to go to these places, talking about, you know, where the history was made, not only just the show itself.
And Ziva, you've seen some of those, right? The backstage where people are piling in to see the show in real time.
Yes,
I have. Yeah. And I definitely, so that's like a goal, is to get out there and see a bunch of stuff. Like we'll just roll it into the podcast where we have like a visit, and then we can talk all about it.
But Palm Springs, like there. I'm here in California, and we've got Palm Springs, which they have properties here, and down here in the Inland Empire, where it's near me, for legal purposes, I may or may not have trespassed onto a Arnaz ranch, you know, and taken photos. And what's funny is that no one around the residential area even knows the gem that they're surrounded by. And it was a former, you know, horse breeding ranch of Desi Arnaz. So, you know, a geek like me will find something like that and get excited. But yeah, what other type of shows do you cover other than Lucy? I know you do the Andy Griffith, and you do, like you said, the Three Stooges.
Yeah, there's many that I cover. And I think a big staple of my channel is that I actually love and watch these shows. And why I say that is because I'm really passionate about what I show. And so there's a real interest in like, hey, this is a topic I want to show, and I show it. It's not just thinking, hey, what show have I never covered? I don't know much about this. So these are shows that I've already watched. So like things like I mentioned, of course, I Love Lucy, Hogan's Heroes, 90s shows as well, like Family Matters, The Twilight Zone's not really a sitcom, but I really love that whole, you know, series there. And there's just so many, and I'm kind of constantly adding others that I've watched as a little boy and kind of sprinkling them in as I go along.
And of course, the connection of Desilu Productions with all of these shows, you know, that either they're filmed, some are on the lot, or like when Lucy brought Star Trek to the world, you know. Yeah. And Ziva, you, those are some of the things that fascinate you too. You know, the kind of like what Lucy brought to television.
Yeah, I love how, you know, influential she was, and how, like Rick was saying, I mean, when you're younger, you just appreciate her for her acting skills, and she's funny and she's a great character. But as you get older and you start, you know, looking into what she went through, how much work that they all put in, you know, you start seeing, you know, a more three-dimensional person, you know, because and this happens, I think, with a lot of shows, you know, you kind of forget that the actors are people and, you know, they have their own lives, they have their own stuff that they're dealing with. And so it's just super easy to idolize and, you know, make this person amazing. And then, you know, you start realizing there's a lot more going on behind the scenes, and she's still amazing even after everything.
I think sometimes the frustrating part is the sometimes non-coverage of Desi Arnaz and what he created as well. Although, I mean, among us, we do really praise the work, but for the most part, it's just seen as a character like a Ricky Ricardo, but for goodness sakes, he was quite the brains behind a lot of that, and his story from, you know, the ruins of Cuba to, you know, all the way to, like he says, cleaning canary cages,
creating to, mosaic, you know,
tiles. Yeah. You'll hear that in the profile, Desi Arnaz, but all the little business, you know, mindset he had from the very start, he didn't let himself feel sorry for himself. I think that was instilled in him from his father. And he brought that to Lucy. So together they were quite the team to make this, you know, huge juggernaut that was Desilu Productions. But unfortunately, it behind the scenes was, you know, another sad story.
Yeah, I think that what happened is, you know, definitely unfortunate, but I mean, what they did throughout the course of their marriage and even afterwards, because they were great friends afterwards, mm-hmm. I really think that they could not have done it without the other. And that's not putting either of them down. It's literally saying they need each other, right? Like Desi on in the background stuff and all the business stuff. I mean, that wasn't Lucy's forte, at least initially.
Right.
But then Lucy was essentially the star. She was like, well, I'm not doing this without him. And so the fact that they were both, it was very much like a yin and yang thing that I think was a beautiful just legacy that they left.
Right. And once, of course, they divorced and it all kind of, you know, not fell apart, but, you know, kind of separated, she had to become, you know, the stronger, more dominant person because she bought him out and took over that role. But also to the show, the relationship between Bill and Viv, I think we've both discussed what that was. And it's so interesting that they were able to just turn it on and turn it off for the show, you know, because in real life they weren't, you know, the best of friends.
Yeah. And they were the veterans. I mean, they were the ones who, I mean, Vivian having her, you know, background in theater and so forth, mm-hmm. and Bill just being in so many movies. It's one of those things where it's like with anyone, right? Whether that's like a teacher or a doctor, when you go in there, a good one does their job, right? And so that's what these individuals will do. It's a good actor does their job, delivers their lines on time. You know, what happened last night really doesn't matter. What happens is right in front of the cameras, and that's what counts.
So Rick, a little bit about the show. What do you have a favorite episode? I feel like that's a hard question for some people, but do you have one that you're like, yes, or at least a top few?
Yes. I've noted that, you know, as let's say my I Love Lucy watching career has gone on, I've gone back and forth between different episodes. I think I started out with the ones that everyone knew about, Vitamina Benjamin and the chocolate episode. But then as I got more into the show, I started appreciating the other episodes that maybe aren't that quote unquote well-known, but they're mm-hmm. fantastic. Like Home Movies right now, Home Movies, I'm obsessed with that.
Yes.
One.
Yeah.
And I wish more people would see it, or more people would just like recall what would happen in that episode. It's fantastic. I also love LA at Last. It's one of my favorites, and the John Wayne double two-parter.
Oh yeah.
Excellent.
The Duke. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what's great about the Hollywood ones, is that they were able to, you know, bring on their real life friends and pretend that they're starstruck, when really they're probably the larger of this. Well, maybe no. I mean, John Wayne, same caliber, but it's funny to watch Lucy, of course, you know, fall over all of these people.
And I love how starstruck she gets.
Yeah. Or Harpo Marx with the, you know, they're both duetting each other. And then, of course, she slips up at the end. But yeah, those Hollywood one with the Rock Hudson on there. I think you just had a Rock Hudson video, right? You just posted one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always appreciated watching that Palm Springs episode. You know, when I think Ethel offers him candy and she says, "You want some rock, Mr. Candy?" that's always funny. But so do you get any kind of odd, you bring like a joyful type of channel because of these shows. Do you get any negative feedback? And if you do, what would it possibly be?
Yeah, I think that's something that is very interesting, because, you know, negative feedback or even constructive criticism, there's a fine line there, but it definitely happens. I think any YouTuber would say that doesn't happen is not telling the truth. And the thing is, it's one of those things where you look at it and it has to slide right off you. You have to be Teflon when it comes to comments like that, because I think the people who do reach out and do say positive things is so overwhelming that everyone else gets droned out. And I think that's what's important. And yes, there's negative feedback. And what's really funny is when someone says, "Oh, I can't stand your voice." And then you hear someone else say, "Oh, I love your voice." And then you go from the point of like, well, I guess someone is right. Or maybe, you know what? Some people just maybe don't like it, and that's fine. And other people do. And the fact is, not everyone's going to like everything. And so I make things that I enjoy, and my audience came to me. And so I think that's essential, that if they're going to continue to enjoy it, then I'm still doing a good job.
Yeah. Now, this movie that has caused quite the stir, Aziva, are you a fan of the casting? We haven't discussed that.
You know, I'm trying to hold out hope. I think it's very easy to pass judgment. You know, definitely with just stills, you know, of this is what she looks like in her makeup, and
it's very frustrating to read.
You don't know her acting is in this role. And I think, you know, Lucy Arnaz did bring up the fact that like that they're not trying to recreate her mother,
right?
And they're not trying to tell the story that everyone knows. They're trying to tell the story that a lot of people don't know,
right?
And I think that as long as they're given that platform, there is a possibility that they could do really good, and there's a possibility that they can flunk. So I'm not a huge fan of the casting, but I'm not there working with them, so I'm kind of just holding out hope, and we'll see what it's like once it comes out. I guess I definitely am gonna watch it and see. What about you, Rick?
Yeah, I made a video on that, and I gave my extensive thoughts on that. I think that, giving a summary of what I said, I think that my love comes from the actual art of what the shows were. And everything branches out from there. So essentially what I've learned about the actors and so forth, I've already learned. And so, you know, they're gonna give their artistic representation of that, and they should do that, right? It's art. Everyone should have the creativity to make their art. So yeah, I think people will enjoy it. I think other people won't enjoy it. I think I'll pop in an I Love Lucy episode and watch that myself.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'll go to.
Yeah. And I think when I first initially saw that, I had the same reaction that everybody did, because you don't know what the premise is until someone tells you, here's the synopsis of what we're doing. She's not trying to be Lucy Ricardo. She's trying to be Lucille Ball. And those two people were vastly different. you know, characters. Lucy was goofy, silly. That's hard to emulate by itself. But Lucille Ball, the character, was a very non-funny person, mm-hmm. very stern. You know, even her voice changes when you hear her speak in a non-Lucy Ricardo voice. So the time period that they're trying to hit on is during the Red Scare, when she went through that drama of being called a communist. And that has nothing to do with the I Love Lucy show, other than perhaps it was happening during the time that it was on the air. So it was kind of like, is this going to ruin our show? What's happening? And they handled it with such grace. And, you know, Desi's famous line, the only thing red about her is her hair. And even that's not, you know, red or real or something like that. But so Nicole Kidman is a top notch actress, Academy Award winning. I love all of it. So, but it did strike me a little bit odd. She, you know, will she play her part, you know, just like Lucille Ball? Probably, because I've seen her transform into a lot of things. Javier Bardem, I don't know. I mean, I've heard him. I know his accent, and you know, it's a Spanish character. So these are professionals. I think they're going to do the story justice, especially since Lucy Arnaz has signed off on it. I think everybody else can probably just sit down and calm down and
calm the heck down.
Yeah. I think as if she was politely trying to say, like, if anyone knows my mother, it's probably me, you know?
Yeah. But, and I think on the flip side, you know, Rick, you're saying, you know, I might just pop in an I Love Lucy episode. It's like, you know, no one's forcing you to watch this. So yeah. If you don't like who they cast or you're not going to like it, then don't watch it.
Yeah.
You know, this is for people that want to learn more, you know. Exactly. I think it's going to be interesting for me. Yeah. And whether or not it's something that, you know, I will watch multiple times or that, you know, I really, really like, mm-hmm. Who knows? But I'm definitely going to see, you know, that side, learn more about that story. And so, yeah, I think it's just, I just a lot of people, we live in a world where a lot of people pass judgment very quickly on things that they don't know a whole lot about. And so,
you know, I was excited at first because it was initially supposed to be Kate Blanchett, and I've seen her do, I was very excited when I saw it was Kate Blanchett because I've seen her transform into so many characters. So when I saw that was off the table and it went to Nicole Kidman, I think we all had kind of like a what, but there was no, there's no comedy required because even the storyline isn't funny. You know, it's pretty, pretty sad and, you know, drastic, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think, I just love that they're doing it at all, you know, because, it's been so many years and we're still, I mean, I don't think the Lucy legacy will ever die, really.
Oh yeah. I mean, I know when I was talking to you about, you know, starting this podcast and just seeing if anyone was really interested in this subject at all, you know, I was
a lot of us
just so surprised by how many people, mm-hmm. you know, and then going, why was I ashamed that I really love this show? Like, there's so many people out there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
but it was surprising to me, I think, at the beginning, how many people were still, you know, diehard fans.
Yeah. And that, yeah, behind me, I have my dolls back there that collect. I don't know if you can see, but do you collect any sort of memorabilia? I mean, I'm not big on the memorabilia, but if when I come across like a thrift shop, of course, or something, a yard sale, and they have something Lucy related, I'll pick it up. But I wonder, Rick, if you collect any sort of memorabilia for any of these things.
Yeah, I really don't. I'm not a big memorabilia person. I do have a few items here and there who, it's funny, like people, when they find out I like it, they're the ones who either send me stuff, whether it's family, friends, or even viewers sometimes. Mm. And that's always much appreciated. What I do really love, and I kind of still cherish, I will probably never sell that, but it's a clock that I bought at Universal Studios Hollywood when the Lucy store was there.
Mm-hmm.
And what was funny is I would be like the only one in there.
Oh my God, me too.
Right?
I hate it that they closed it because I did get a blanket from there and I've never used it. It's just stored because, uh-huh. you know, it's precious, but I hate that they closed it. And I loved going in there, but the dresses, the museum type, you know, displays that they would have in Universal Studios. But How about you, Ziva? Do you have a lot of stuff?
I don't. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about. I'm a very mid-century-y person, so I have a lot of mid-century stuff, and so sometimes they kind of just overlap well together. I do have, if you look on that Instagram, on our page, like one of the very first posts is a photo of like my old writing desk. And I had that all set up, and those are all from the scrapbooks that they had, which I just love. And so, you know, there's a bunch of stuff from that, but past, you know, books and things like that, I don't really have a whole lot of, you know, statues or memorabilia or anything like that. So,
yeah, I think a lot of it gets watered down to be kind of like collector's items and cliche, just to kind of mass produce them and sell them, which it's a little corny, but I do appreciate the autobiographies, you know, both Lucy and Desi's. I think I've read and audiobook them quite a few times, but or the people actually involved, like Jess Oppenheimer's son's book, you know, things like that, people who were actually there. That's always a nice take, because the writing in the I Love Lucy show itself, I know it carried on from the radio show to I Love Lucy to, is it Here's Lucy, right after that, I forget the others, because there's so many.
There was Lucy show. So there were our life four with Lucy. That kind of felt, you know, there were four that kind of followed that, and then there was, you know, Lucy, so I Love Lucy, the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour, the Lucy Show, Here's Lucy, and then there was that fourth one. Is that Life with Lucy?
Yeah,
the one that didn't do so well.
That had like eight episodes or something like that. And I watched it. Have you guys watched it? The episodes, you can find them.
I wouldn't say I've ever sat through a whole episode of Life with Lucy, because I think I saw a documentary once where it was almost sad the way they were describing what the premise was, because it's like you're watching, I don't know, an 80-year-old Lucy Ricardo, and it just wasn't the same sparkle that it was in the early 50s, which comes with age, which comes with probably being tired, with probably the sign of the times, because it wasn't aired in the 50s. And so when you're trying to force the same character throughout decades, it probably loses a little bit of its luster from the original hit that it was.
Yeah, I do have to say that I thought she did a good job acting. One of the things that they mentioned, you know, was the supporting cast. I don't think that they were as good. And I also think that one of the things she mentioned was that, you know, people didn't really want to see her taking on an older role and being older, because that meant that, well, she was older, and whether or not that was reality, people didn't really want to see her in that role, if that makes any sense. They didn't want to see her being a grandma, because they wanted to keep her picture in that, the younger, more vibrant roles.
Yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable to try and make a older lady do pratfalls or silly skits. It's just a little
plus, you know, and you see in Here's Lucy, I think in the fifth season, there's a decline in how physical her acting becomes because of that broken leg. And so at the end of Here's Lucy, you know, you start seeing less of that, being able to do the physical acting that she's so well known for and so used to doing. And so there's that as well, that they weren't able to do as much of that.
I think you, do you cover any of the later shows or just the I Love Lucy show itself?
You know, I have gotten into the Lucy show a bit, and Here's Lucy as well. I've a handful of videos on that, but that's something that I do want to get into more, because I was at that point where I said, oh, I don't know if I ever want to cover these shows. But then something in me kind of hit, and I did watch them as a little boy, but they were never as exciting to watch as when I Love Lucy came on, like just that feeling. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw them again, I could appreciate them for what they were. They were different. You can't expect the same thing, the same magic, but there is something very interesting about the celebrity she brought on, and and just how her comedy kind of evolved, I would say, mm-hmm. that is, you could appreciate, but then a little bit is lost, obviously. And then that you kind of feel as well. So it's a lot of kind of mixed emotions watching it.
Yeah, because I think obviously with I Love Lucy, her and Desi bounced off each other. It's just the yin and the yang of those two characters. Then you have your Fred and your Ethel. It was just beautifully made, that the bouncing off one another, even the two Mertz's relationship, you know, worked perfectly, that when Ethel then became Viv in the later shows, it was like something was missing. And of course it's because your mind is so predisposed to think that there's a Ricky and a Fred, which I'm sure they were trying to run away from being the same characters time and time again. But, you know, it's a testament to how great they made these characters, that we can't forget about what they are. But to me, the more fascinating part is the production of it, the backstage, behind the scenes, family, personal stuff that struggled to get it even off the ground. You know, just convincing the CBS that these two can be a couple. We go into that a little bit. It's so interesting how it's changed, you know, the sign of the times, how it's changed, how things weren't acceptable then and are acceptable now. What does something like that strike you, the difference of a 1950s household to today?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a feeling of, I mean, the show did something and it created a magic, and I really don't think that many shows can do that. And so I think it kind of glamorizes that 50s lifestyle that obviously we didn't live through, but then it's like, we wish we could kind of by watching that. Mm-hmm. And then now there's no set, you know, household that you look at. There's so much diversity, so much difference. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's like, I almost want to be in that household with them. I want to be in the other room while they're in the kitchen. I want to be in the other room, like waiting for them to come by. Right.
Oh my God. How cool would that be?
Right. Like, I don't even need to be on camera. I just want to be in the next room.
Be
like,
there. For them, right?
And so it does create that. And it's one of those things where I think, as you mentioned, like the other shows kind of were grasping at that same feeling, and maybe they touched it, but they weren't able to completely just bring it home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I'm going to teeny soapbox here. The reason, because a lot of people ask me when I tell them that Here's Lucy is my favorite of all of them, you know, they ask me why. Because they're like, well, there's I Love Lucy and blah, blah, blah. And I get that. And I love all the shows. And it's very hard for me to choose which one's my favorite a lot of times. But I just love the... I don't know. I love the woman. This is the second time now that she's been, you know, a single mother. You know, she's raising her children. I love that she has her own children on the show. I don't know. There's something about that like really helps me. You know, at the beginning, they're both kind of a bit clunky, but I don't know, that might be their first acting roles.
Yeah.
Was the show. So, you know, you start seeing them come into their own as actors and actresses. And I like in that one, I don't know, I felt like they weren't trying to grasp for the, you know,
like
she needs a man, and like, this is, you know, this is this very happy, you know, they are a happy family in an extent, but that you see a lot more of her outside of the home. And I kind of like that. So I like having two, you know,
like the independence that she kind of portrayed.
And I like having the two different shows, because I think if they had tried, like Rick was saying, tried to make it the same, you know, where she's at home and then all the antics are at home, it would have for sure been a hit and miss, you know, like they were like, well, we can't do the same thing. So I definitely understand what people say about how, you know, it's not the same, and it definitely isn't the same. Either their first one, just like with almost any movie, I think the first, or movie or TV show, the first is like amazing. And then everything after that is kind of off of that. And so it's never the same or as good as the, you know, the original, if that makes
sense. Yeah, you have, like you mentioned, two vastly different scenarios happening where she was more submissive as a wife, even though the whole premise of the show is that she's going against what Ricky wants anyway. So yeah. Otherwise we wouldn't have a show, but they want you to believe that she is trying to be more of, you know, subservient or trying to make him happy. I mean, we just discussed the episode of Lucy thinks Ricky's trying to murder her, which is a whole thing in itself. But the point is that she was very accepting of her husband perhaps not liking her and how to work around that and get him to like her again. And where it's probably like a, here's Lucy, it was just her. It was just, you know, she's running the show, both on the show and behind the show. But I'm saying as the character, she has to be stronger because she's just a single mom that isn't trying to please anybody. You know, it's just two vastly right. different characters.
Sometimes her boss, I want to say Mr. Mooney, but that's right. That's from the Lucy show.
The Lucy show. Yeah.
Harrison Carter, right?
Yeah.
On Here's Lucy.
Yeah. And so I think, we just discussed the Lucy thinks Ricky is trying to murder her. Mm-hmm. And in that, it was such a dark concept, would be something that you could not get away with now, because as we discussed in it, is he was trying to give her a sleeping pill. He was trying to give her a Mickey. And then there's a concept of perhaps a husband committing homicide and her just trying to convince him not to. And, you know, the whole thing just around the sleeping pill alone is not something you would get away with, I think, in 2021. I think you have a lot.
I think there'd be like an outroar.
Cancel culture.
Can't give. Yeah.
Well, there are certain episodes. I haven't seen stuff in syndication in a while, but I remember that when I got the DVDs, I was like, wait, I've never seen this episode. So I started to see a pattern in certain episodes that were kind of never shown or rarely shown versus ones that were always shown.
Right.
And then I said, okay, well, like the murder one was one of them. There was a couple with the spankings, you know, Ricky likes spankings.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes.
That is always so awkward to watch right? him just put her over his lap.
You're right. and you know what the craziest thing is? I made a video on that and like inappropriate I Love Lucy moments. And I put like that in there and a couple of other ones. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see there was a divide there. There were some people saying, no, you're picking at straws here. Everything in Lucy was sanitized. And I'm like, really? And some people agreed with me, but it was interesting people's perspectives and what they thought, you know, was going on. And, you know, there was even one episode where Lucy said, I need more than 10 minutes for that. And some people made this whole like comment about it and how, you know, they went into it. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I'll get into that, but it
right. was or the seance one where it's like, Lucy, you don't like the way I vibrate. And it's kind of like, sir, what are we saying? Or I think yesterday, as we discussed, what was the other? First of all, let's talk about the beds. You know, I mean,
oh yeah.
Somehow there was a little Ricky
together.
Yeah, a migration from one bed to another.
Right, and so it's, you know, I and the word pregnant and you know all of that. You kind of have to see that it's a sign of the times. But when you pick it apart, if you really want to pick it apart, it's, you know, a lot of I'm hoping I don't upset Ricky because he might physically harm me. You know, and a lot of
or get really mad. Yeah, you know, and like there's some times where you see like she's, you know, when she doesn't get her monthly accounts in order, things like that. And I just wonder
the fear in her eyes.
I wonder how it would feel right now. Like if I did something and we were in debt at home and I had to tell my husband, like I wouldn't have that fear. I would feel maybe a little guilty, like, oh, I maybe spent too much money. Mm-hmm. But like the idea that like you didn't do something and now you've got this fear, you know. And even Rick, what you were talking, the one about Ricky makes Lucy a schedule, like the idea that she would be able to, that he as a husband has the right to say, you know, yeah, you've got 10 minutes for that. And that's where that line was, you know, I need more
time. Well, you
more
forget
than 10 minutes than that.
Mr. Littlefield wanted to
do the same,
watch her perform. I think this is like a trained seal.
Like a trained seal.
And
yep.
So if he liked that concept, I go on it tomorrow. I'm sorry. What? This is just, it's
and they don't play that one much, right?
I haven't seen it. No, but yeah. I mean, you and I and Ziva, we all know it because we know all of these, you know, front to back, but just the idea that if, you know, the husband sees what he likes, which is a full on schedule of minutes, you know, broken down for the wife to perform, then she goes on one. It's just, it's a very uncomfortable thing now with 2021 eyes, really. It's what we're doing because it was probably accepted in the 50s. And she didn't even have children at that time, I don't think, in the show, right?
She didn't have children.
The schedule was just for her minutes of her day while he's at work. It's just very odd. It's very odd.
I think the funniest one is in the Ricky and Fred are TV fans in that TV episode. And then Fred runs out to get, I think some type of drink.
I think
and
I
then
know
he comes
saying.
Back, right? And then he's like, he's trained himself to do anything in less than a minute. And I was like, what?
That's a line. Yeah. We're all kind of like, okay, it's the unspoken joke. Now, here's an interesting one, because I don't know if we all have the same answer, but what is your least favorite I Love Lucy one? Because I have one that just stays in my mind. I wished it would just delete from the whole thing.
You start then.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the one where they go to Scotland. I'm sure you like it.
The musical one.
I cannot. And the dragons and the, no, please.
I think it's so funny.
Please. What
so
is
stupid.
It? Men in Black, you know, kind of like.
erase it.
Yes. Erase it from
Involved with
of
the dragon's dinner.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't watch that.
I love that one.
Yeah.
I think it's because they've like put it as a dream. I don't know, but like, it's so stupid, but I get it.
The dream ones are always sad because she also dreamt that he left her for another woman.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. That episode.
Yes, the dream.
Ricky's new girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, she's panhandling with little Ricky, and now he's like a grown man and he's a big star. And it's just
creepy.
It is creepy. So what is your least favorite, Rick?
I would have said the Scotland one because I don't enjoy watching it. I really don't. Like, that's not a fun one to watch. And that one that you just mentioned, I can't stand that dream sequence. And I don't like the fact of that woman coming in and he's like leaving her. I
dancing away.
And they use the baby to like bring him back. I was like, no.
Yeah.
And then
this
he just pats him on the head.
If this doesn't convince you to stay, That's disgusting.
Yeah. I have one. I don't know why it didn't come to me like as soon as you said, do you have one? I skip it every single time.
Uh-huh.
And that's Lucy Cries Wolf.
Oh,
okay.
I hate that one. And I think,
why?
So like, I know that at the beginning they're playing it up and they're having fun and like, she does cry wolf and I get that. I hate that at the end of it when she actually gets tied up and like, you know, the robbers cut, like they don't do anything, they're just like, all right, whatever. And like, I get that it's supposed to be like, well then don't cry wolf, but like, how many times have you, I don't know, in your life you say something, saying, you know, lying about something, even if it's a white lie once or twice, like it's not enough for you to never be able to go through that again in your life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I think Ricky probably had enough with the calls of, you know, in the faraway phone, like help, help. And she's like, you know, going away from the phone. And even Lucy or Ethel and Fred, they walk in just annoyed. But what I did love about that particular episode is when they finally know that she's on the ledge. Is that the same one?
Yeah.
Okay. And she starts giving away her things. And how many days until you remarry for a mother for little Ricky? About 10 days. And then she's almost falls off.
Almost falls off.
Yeah. That's interesting. that it annoyed you that much.
Yeah, I just don't. I think it's the end that I just can't handle. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, all right. Like, and they're supposed to be like her husband and best friends. So like you already had your laughs and your jollies when you did all of that stuff while she was on the ledge. Like, you got back at her. So ignoring her when she like if they had looked at her there, she wouldn't have been able to tie herself up like that. And they're just like, all right, you tied yourself up. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you already had your jollies making fun of her. Like,
didn't they congratulate her and give her an award for best?
I dislike it. I don't. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know which other one I don't like? Mm-hmm. And I think the reason is because I don't feel like there's a punchline in it. Maybe I missed it, or mm-hmm. maybe it's just not for me. But it's, I believe it's called Ricky's Life Story. It's the one with Minnie Finch.
Oh, yes.
And
okay.
I don't like, right? Like, Ricky gets punched at the end. And,
yeah, by her husband, right? By Minnie right, Finch's
by
husband.
By Minnie Finch's husband.
Right.
And I feel like that whole episode, I'm kind of waiting for the climax. I'm like, okay, what's the point where I'm supposed to like laugh, or what's the silly part where Lucy's trying to outsmart Ricky? And I kind of don't see it. And then it kind of ends and I'm like, okay. So that was one that I'm like,
yeah, you're right. Yeah. Kind of a, yeah, I'm trying now I'm playing the episode in my head now to try to figure
it too, to see if there's anything
that we're missing. But yeah, it's and there's a lot of them that, you know, for me, my favorite ones, I don't know about favorite, but one of the, you know, up there are the ones where they're in the country. I feel like there's a different feel, different vibe to it, because you know, they got a different background. You got the neighbor, which is same one they use throughout the entire thing anyway, you know, so for various characters. But how do you guys feel about, I know Ricky's supposed to be like this, you know, hot star that all the women fall over, but in those country ones where I'm sorry, what is his actress's name, she comes the country club dance,
Barbara Eden
yeah. And so she, you know, takes his attention because she's the beautiful woman. I always wonder what that did to Lucille, because that was really her life in real life. You know, and I just thought, like, how is she okay with some of these writings? Because even though I know you're supposed to suspend disbelief, you're not supposed to know all this in the background while you're watching it, but we all know it. I just wonder how that felt for her doing episodes like that.
I mean, I think, if we talk about it just for a teeny second, heading back to things that we don't like, you know, and this isn't a whole episode, it's just more of an idea from the show, is that, you know, there's always this background idea that, you know, the women may not be good enough for the men. They might have gained too much weight.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look as pretty. I mean, there's that whole episode where they go to charm school because the men aren't paying them any attention.
Right. The charm school one is very,
you know, and
insulting.
It's a funny one, but again, it touches on those ideas that, like, okay, you're not meeting these requirements, or even, you know, when Fred jokes about, you know, hoping Ethel put on a different face, you know, and they're like, oh, same one, you know, like, it's a joke, but it I think it's at this
the expense of the
and this deep-rooted idea that, you know, women have to stay put together at that time. Even now at some point, to some people, after marriage, they have to meet these certain requirements physically and you know, for the men to stick around, you know. Mm-hmm. But you see Fred, and obviously that's not the same for men, like, it's just whatever, you know. But, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, definitely. So, it's rooted in that. Yeah.
And I think that, so you bring in an actress that's, you know, arguably as pretty, if not prettier, than, you know, and I think that they have completely different features. So I don't know. I mean, like, they're both stunning in my mind, but, like, you know, it's arguable that there are people that find that more attractive than Lucy. And so, you know, you have these, moments where, yeah, she does have to go real life and in the show, where it's, you know, she's fighting for, you know,
the affection,
top ranking of her husband, you know.
Right. And I think that's hit on a lot, because even in the Lucy Desi comedy hours, where, you know, she's older and Lucille is, and so she's trying to be the girl Friday. I think we discussed that. And it's always, you know, she goes and the other women that are up for the job are all young, pretty girls. And she's trying to emulate what they're doing, which is, you know, put your hair up, tie your shirt, you know, kind of look sexy for the 50s, because he's going to be staring at this woman for the entire time that she's employed. And so she feels less than. And I think we saw some of that with the diet episode where, you know, same thing. She's trying to lose the weight so she can kind of match these young ladies. And yeah, that's the premise of the whole thing. And the charm school one, that's over the top, just, which is also a cross of Gilligan's Island with Mrs. Howell being the charm school teacher.
Yeah.
Which I love. Which I love, you know, when those characters kind of cross each other. But how do you see that, you know, with how they looked at feminine roles, Rick?
I think that's an interesting topic. The way I always saw it, and I, of course, as I grew up older, I mean, I was always looking at just the zany scenes when I was a little boy, right? But mm-hmm. once you become like a teenager and you become in your 20s, you start realizing some things and seeing the scripts in a different way. The way I always saw it is, the reason why the show is so popular, even most of your shows in general, is because they're very relatable, right? This mm-hmm. isn't a show about like Lucy in space. You know, right. Like, it's like, you know, we can say that. It's like, well, what, you know, how do we even understand that? But I think the idea of, okay, you live in the city, you live in a small apartment, you're trying to make it, right? You're married, and then you're trying to have a baby and so forth. So I feel like a lot of couples at that time could relate. And so what was happening is, it's almost like you're seeing a lot of the show in your own life, at least in that time. And so a lot of the audiences connected with that. But then Lucy would kind of turn everything upside down, right? She would make that situation that was maybe uncomfortable, difficult, insulting, however we might define it. And she brought it power in her own way. Whether that was like, I don't know, like I look at those scenes, I look at that diet scene and I see all those women who are like, you know, they purposefully bring in these models mm-hmm. and then put Lucy in like baggier clothing and everything.
Right.
And she rolls everything up. Right. Mm-hmm. And obviously she wants to look funny. Like we're supposed to laugh at how she looks.
Right.
But we're looking at her the whole time. She is the one who's holding the power in that scene, not the other one.
Right.
And I kind of saw that as a carbon copy to the whole show in general. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw interesting about it as well, that, you know, in the end. And then the icing on the cake was Ricky with his bugged out eyes looking at her like, what is this woman doing? Like, why is she turning everything upside down? Why is she making my life difficult? But he loved her, right? Because he said that. He would always say that, right?
And what's interesting that you mentioned that is, isn't that the premise of her entire career? Is because she never, down to going to, is it theatrical school when she was, you know, a teen, or acting school, to the huge production company that they put together, she never felt like the Ava Gardner, the, you know, the beautiful damsel in distress. She was always, you know, she learned from Buster Keaton. She learned from the, you know, Red Skelton, from the best men. And she kind of knew she had the comedic chops to make people laugh and ran with that. So at the end of the day, we're not really just remembering her for being glamorous, although she was, you know, when she dressed up and all that, but we're remembering that talent and you know, all the characters that she was able to pull off just on the Lucy episodes alone. She would morph into different people. And, you know, you got these Carol Lombard, they couldn't do things like that. They were just pretty faces to look at. So it's kind of like, who stands out the most in the show and in real life? And it was the same concept, I think.
Yeah, I think, I know I get all these comments on YouTube and some of them are very fascinating. One was, why are a lot of the celebrities male? and very few females. And I thought about that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is true, right? There's a lot of males. And then when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, but Lucy's hanging with those guys who essentially were the focus at that time. Yeah. And she's getting the best of them.
Right.
Right. Like,
yes.
Like they're coming to her show. And I'm sorry, but I don't know many people that know William Holden other than us geeks. Right.
Yeah.
But Lucille Ball, everyone knows Lucille Ball.
Right. Right.
And he was the big head honcho there, but now everything's flipped. Right. And so I think that's the genius and just the versatility that she had, that she could look great in an evening gown, but then make you laugh hysterically, like within
a man's suit. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, when she wears a man's suit. Yeah, you're right. Right. It was beautiful to watch. You're right, because in one moment she's Harpo Marx, and then the next one she's, you know, wearing that beautiful anniversary dress. Right. You know, and so yeah, I do love that. But what other show would you say on your channel do you love? I guess second to the I Love Lucy one.
Oh, it would definitely be Gilligan's Island.
Okay.
The reason why I love that show so much, it's ridiculous. It's, you know, it's the premise is everything about that is ridiculous. It's almost a live action cartoon. And that's kind of what I would summarize it as, because a lot of people are like, wait, how is it possible? I'm like, they're asking all these reason-esque questions. And I'm like, that's like asking, why does Bug Bunny always have a carrot with them?
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, this is literally a cartoon. And I think that's one of the best like portrayals of like a cartoon made into a show. Then that's not what they essentially did, but mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's happening. So a lot of that show is great to me. Hogan's Heroes is a very serious show that was made funny. That's one mm-hmm. I really love.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Like that show.
Love that show. Yeah.
It's one of my,
the first shows, even before I Love Lucy, that I started to watch like on repeat as a young child, like, you know. And when I say young, I mean like in my teens, so it wasn't that young, but like, you know, it does have such serious, I mean, they're in a prison of war camp during a war, but like they somehow make it funny. And it just, mm-hmm. that's another one though, you find out about, I can't remember, I had to have been like in my early 20s when I found out that Bob Hope was murdered.
Oh, Bob Crane.
Bob Crane.
Bob Hope wasn't murdered.
Right, yeah, not Bob Hope.
The main actor, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Was murdered, and like, then just finding out like his life and things. Bob Crane. Yeah, I'm sorry. His life and stuff like that. It just, that was one of those ones where it's like, whoa,
right.
Whole life outside of. Mm-hmm.
I really do appreciate Rick, you taking the time, because, you know, we had scheduling here and there and all that, but you know, this was really fun. I think we both, all three of us really love talking to other nerds of all things Lucy, Desilu, and old classic shows. But yeah, once this goes live, we'll let you know. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
No, it was great. It was an honor. And the fact that, you know, you invited me after several times. We couldn't the first time and so forth, but we made it work and I was determined. So
I love watching your channel. So if you ever need any of us for anything, we're available.
Oh, yep. Perfect. It would be great to pop in here and there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Wonderful. Well, take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Bye.